This free resource is from the 2013 Spiritual Leadership Conference in Lancaster, California, hosted by Pastor Paul Chapel in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is on team soul winning with John Sisson. John Sisson teaches at Lancaster Baptist School and serves in the Student Ministry Sunday School Department.
2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 2 here. The Bible says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And sometimes I think that us as youth workers, as youth pastors, we tend to try to do it all on our own. We try to reach everybody on our own. We try to follow up on everybody on our own. And why not decide to train our young people to reach those that they know who we might never come in contact with, and teach them how to do it. Teach them how to witness to a friend. Teach them how to invite somebody to church. Teach them how to sow the seed and then eventually reap that seed. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get started. Lord, we thank you so much for this day. I thank you for the great conference that we've had the privilege to be a part of so far. And I pray that you would continue to bless and work in our hearts. I pray that you would use me today. And I pray that something I say would be a blessing to these youth workers in here. In your name we pray. Amen. First of all, I want to talk about the priority of the soul winning program. The priority of the soul winning program. And it's just that, as it says in verse 2 here, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So we want to teach that to our young people so that they can teach others also. That is our priority. And we have four main objectives that we try to relay to our teens. This is the objectives that we have for our teens. We want to instill these things in them so that they can, first of all, develop a heart for God. A heart for God. As the Bible says in Mark 30, there's nothing more important than loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that's God's first commandment. And we want to, first of all, make sure that our young people develop a heart for God, that they love Him above all else. With everything else going on in their lives, with their own agendas, they need to love Him first and foremost. Secondly, we want to instill in them, we want to make sure they are grounded in biblical beliefs and convictions. And this is so important because you could ask the average young person what they believe, and I'm sure they could tell you. They could just basically tell you what they believe, but they won't be able to tell you why they believe it. And so we believe it's important to not only tell our teens what they are to believe and find out from God's Word why they believe it. That is what we want to instill in them. Get them grounded in biblical beliefs and convictions so that when they talk to somebody, when they're trying to witness to somebody, and there's a tough question, which many times happens to our young people when they're out soul winning, we want them to be able to answer it. Not their own opinion, not the opinion of some youth worker, but what God says in His Word. We want them to be able to answer from a verse that they've read and that they've studied and that they know. And they have a conviction about what they believe. And this is very important. Sometimes I think we assume as youth workers that our young people know what they're supposed to say to someone when a question is asked. And I believe that's a huge fault of ours. We assume that everybody knows what they're supposed to say. We assume, oh, that guy's been in church 10 years. That girl's been in church for 12 years, almost her whole life. And so I'm sure she knows. But we've got to be the ones that teach them what to say, what they believe and why they believe it, so that they can in turn tell somebody about Christ. And then we want to instill in them a heart of ministry, a heart of service. And when our pastor talks about spiritual leadership conference, we want to develop servant leaders. We want to develop spiritual leaders in our youth group. And I think it's vital to allow and compel our teens to get involved in service opportunities. A lot of our young people are on bus routes, and I don't think there's a greater ministry that they can serve in, to be honest with you, than on a bus route. And seeing them give testimonies about a young person they led to the Lord, seeing testimonies about how they have impacted someone else for Christ. And that's what it's all about right there. We want to instill in them a heart of service, a heart of ministry that's not looking to see what they can get and what kind of fun they can have in the youth group, but how they can serve others. And some of the strongest, some of the most mature, some of the happiest teens in our youth group are the ones that are involved in music opportunities and serving opportunities and winning souls for Christ. Those are the ones that are joyful. Those are the ones that are walking with God and we're seeing fruit from their lives. And so we want to make sure that they are living their faith and that their commitment is real to Christ. So we see a heart for God. We want them to be grounded in biblical beliefs and convictions, have a heart of ministry or for ministry and service. And then lastly, and the most important one, a love for souls, a love for souls. And I believe if they develop a heart for God and His Word, they will develop a passion for lost souls. If they're close to God, if they're walking with Him, they will get God's heartbeat. And we've got to help with that as well. But if they are walking with God, if they are in tune with what God has to say, they will develop that heart for souls. But we want to teach them that as well. In Jude verse 21, it says, "And some have compassion, making a difference." And there's a lot of teens in our youth group that have made a difference. And there's a lot of them that haven't. And we're trying to influence that and impact them in a way where they will desire to make a difference in other people's lives. But, and some have compassion making a difference. I know our youth group, sometimes we get so caught up in our programs and our activities and what games we're going to play at teen camp and all of the other things that, yes, are important. But at the end of the day, this is the most important one, reaching people for Christ. And it doesn't matter if it's an adult that they reach. It doesn't matter if it's a young person they reach. We just want them to develop a heart for souls and a love for souls in their lives. And each one of our young people have friends that they know that are lost. And each one of our young people have friends that we might never come in contact with. And some of them might not have the courage to talk to someone about Christ, one of their friends. Some of them might have the courage, but they don't know how to approach it and how to get that conversation started. So again, you have the ability to impact these teens for Christ, to impact them and develop a heart for God and a heart for souls in their lives so that they can in turn have an impact on those around them. So that's our priority right there, is to teach others also. When we're talking about the teen soul winning program, we can't just expect everybody to know what's going on, know how to witness to somebody. We have got to instill that inside their hearts. It's got to be real to them. We don't want young people just coming out soul winning so that they can check off something on our summer accountability program. We want it to be real inside of them. We don't want it to last for just 4 years while they're in high school or 6 years in the youth group. We want it to be something genuine in their hearts, and we want to see them impact others in their world as well. So we can't expect this to be a priority to our teens if we don't make it a priority. If we're not teaching it week in and week out, if we're not out soul winning, if we're not modeling this with our life, then don't expect them to take it seriously. Don't expect them to get on fire for God and have a love for souls if their own youth pastors and their own youth workers don't. So the priority is to teach others also, as it says in 2 Timothy 2:2. Next, we see the program, and this is a lot of practical stuff. I'll just kind of give you an idea of what we do with our soul winning program, and hopefully some of this will be a help to you. First of all, we're going to talk about the organization of our teen soul winning program. And how many of you are like me, you struggle in that area? All right, awesome. Only four of you? There's got to be more than that. I'm not the most organized guy, and thank the Lord we have some guys that help in our youth department and secretaries that are very organized and do a great job of this. But if you want to have a successful soul winning program, you better take the time to organize it and make it good. Because if you don't, teens will show up, the driver's not there, you don't have parents driving, you don't have youth workers driving, and people will notice, the teens will notice that it's not very organized. And what that tells them is that it wasn't important enough to you to sit down and take your time and organize it and make it good and make it exciting. And so they will pick up on that. So we want to make sure it is organized, and I'll give you a couple ways that we organize that. First of all, we have our registration. We have our soul winning registration. Every fall, the church has their soul winning kickoff, and so we plan our teen soul winning kickoff as well. And we will announce this on Facebook, on Twitter. We'll announce it in Sunday school about 4 to 6 weeks out, and we'll be letting everybody know. We want them to get excited about it. We'll build it up. We'll say we're going to have some pizza. We're going to have something out in the gym to kick it off, or we'll have some ice cream sandwiches afterwards. We're going to make it a big deal to them because, again, we want to model that it's a big deal or they won't take it very seriously either. So we kick that off every fall. We'll announce this several weeks out. And then on that night, we split up junior high and senior high, and we preach a message about having a heart for souls. In fact, sometimes in the past, I've done maybe a four-week series leading up and talking about that, or I've gone through a couple things that we'll talk about a little later. But we'll have a message about having a heart for souls. And then at the end, we'll stress the importance that it's a mandate of God. It's not a suggestion. We get everybody registered. Then we sit down as a student ministries team, and we will organize our schedule for that upcoming year. How many of you use Evernote? Anybody use Evernote in here? It's a great tool, and what we do is we started doing this past year. Everything we do, from our soul-winning schedules to our youth activities broken down by responsibility, we have all of that on Evernote. So anytime someone from our student ministries team can go on there, they can check it out, see what they have going on. They can fill it out if it's done or not. They can keep us updated. We can change stuff in the schedule. So we use Evernote quite a bit. So we'll sit down at the end of that registration and we'll figure out what dates we have that are available to go out soul winning on Saturday. And then we'll figure out the ones where we're not able to go out. Maybe there's a conflict in the church schedule. Something big is going on. For instance, we have our couples retreat. So all the parents are gone. We cancel that. We have our spring break. We have our Easter musical. So most of the teens are up here practicing all day. But we go through and figure out. And I think we sat down and did about 8 to 10 months in advance. And it's important to keep a schedule, because you don't want to get to the point that every other week you're canceling. Every other week you're just saying, oh, something came up, we're not going to be able to do it. It's easy to do that, I know, especially with your church schedule and you have everything going on, and it's easy just to cancel. But we want to stay on schedule as much as possible. And what we do is we pass out a schedule to our parents. And that kind of keeps you accountable also when you give everything to the parents, give everything to the teens. It's a lot harder to go through and cancel a soul-winning day if all of them already have it. And so you want to keep a schedule. Again, you want to be very organized in scheduling that stuff. Look out a few months in advance, get a set schedule for the teens and their parents, and give that to them. And again, stick to that schedule as much as possible. Try to stay on track. And then we're going to look at our transportation. We do a couple different things. I know before I came, they did their teen soul winning on Wednesday. So after school, about 3:30, they would take a bus out. They would go soul winning. Anybody in here do that? They take them out after school. They go soul winning, knock some doors, and then they'll go grab dinner right before teen Bible study or church. And so they did that before I came. Then we were doing Tuesdays and Saturdays, Tuesday night and Saturday morning. But now we are doing mainly Saturday morning. We still have everything available on Tuesday night. We're going to talk about that in a second. But on Saturday mornings, we do 3 weeks out of the month, we take a bus. So we'll line up a driver, and we usually just need one bus, and we'll call that driver, see if he can drive, get the bus out here, and have 7 or 8 youth workers on there as well. And we'll split up in groups of 2 or 3, and we'll hit a whole neighborhood with all of those teens. And then 1 week out of the month, we will take cars. So we'll figure out which parents can drive. We'll do that beforehand. We'll figure out all the parents that can drive. We'll figure out how many people they can fit in their cars. And then once they come, we'll split them up. We'll hand them a map or some follow-up visits, and then they'll be on their way. Now, I suggest you find someone like we found. We found a lady that has, I think, a 12-passenger van. And sometimes we'll be in there and we're like, man, we need another driver or two. She walks in, we're good to go. So find somebody like that. We've got a couple people that have bigger vehicles. And sometimes if you're running short on drivers, they can help out as well. But again, line those up beforehand. Don't wait till the night before. We have done that on occasion and it doesn't work very well. You want to make sure your driver's a couple weeks out. You want to make sure your parents are a couple weeks out. And you should already know in advance who those parents are. Figure out a way to meet. And you can have a card for them as well to fill out what days they can drive, what days they can't, and get all that organized, and then call them in advance, let them know, and that's another way to do it as well. So you could take a bus, you could take cars, or anything else that works for you. Then on Tuesday nights, we have our soul-winning table. So at least two of us every Tuesday night will be at our soul-winning table. And what we have there is we don't have organized teen soul winning, but we still encourage the teens to come with a parent. We encourage them to line a ride up beforehand and say, hey, talk to a youth worker, talk to a Sunday school teacher, and you can ride with them and they'll go out and make visits or knock doors or some other things. But a couple of things that we have available to them are we have our teen tracks, we have our sign-in sheets on clipboards that they can fill out, we have a map folder with all door-knocking maps if they need that. We have Sunday school visits. We have these divided by class. We have rosters that we pass out. They look like this. It's just an Excel spreadsheet that teachers can come in and grab, and they can look at that and then look on there and see who they want to visit and go visit them. We have prospect cards, and usually a prospect card that was filled out in Sunday school will get generated to a map like this, and it'll tell us at the bottom if it's a salvation or baptized, if it was a visitor, he's already saved and we're trying to get him to come back. There'll be some comments down here at the bottom, so that'll generate some visits in there as well. And it's all broken down by class again, so it's easy to find, and we organize that so that people can just come in, grab what they need, and leave. And so that's what we do on Tuesday night. And again, there's no organized teen soul winning. We used to do that. We stopped it for a while. You can do what you want there, but we still have that available because a lot of teachers can't come Saturday, so they'll come on Tuesday night. But we want to make sure that, again, that's organized as well. So they come in, everything's there. They can see what 10th grade visitor came that week. They can see baptism visits, and everything is available to them so they can make the visits they need to make. Then I want to talk to you about tracking all of our contacts and visitors. Tracking all of our contacts and visitors. We have a couple of tracks, and I brought several of these if some of you want to grab these afterwards. Here are a couple of the tracks that we've used in the past couple of years, Discover and Connect, and that's our new logo right there for Ignite. But these are our teen tracks, and it has all of our services, what the Sunday school times are the Wednesday night, and then obviously the gospel presentation on the back. Then we have our We Missed You card, all right? Same logo and everything on there, and you can make up one of these. These are postcards that you can write a teen if they miss Sunday school. We also use these for when we go knock on a door or we're making a follow-up visit to somebody and they're not home. We'll write a little note on there, stick that in there, and that's a nice little touch. It's a We Missed You card. And then our visitor card, same thing. We've got a lot of information on the back that they can fill out. Tell us if they want to know more about accepting Christ, youth activities, teen Bible study, and then we put our Facebook page on there as well. So a couple of different things up here that I brought. If you want to grab something afterwards, you can. But that's how we keep track of all our contacts and visitors. And we have awesome youth secretaries that do a really good job of taking a visitor card from Sunday. They will put that into the system. They will email that to the teacher of that class, and they will get it organized, CC one of the youth pastors, whichever senior high or junior high, whichever one it is, and they will make sure that that person doesn't fall through the cracks. I think a lot of times it's very easy for a visitor or someone to fall through the cracks because we don't do the proper follow-up. We don't get that visitor card turned in right away, or it sits on our desk like sometimes ones do in my class. And so I've got to be really on the ball there and get those turned in, make sure I follow up on that or delegate that to their Sunday school teacher and make sure that person gets followed up on. So again, they will take those cards and make sure the teacher of that class or that age group gets all of the contact info, and then we will report back. We use something called Life Touch. It's a database where we have all of our teens in there, all of their information, and we can get them added in there, and then we can record when we visited them, when we wrote them a note, when we took them out to lunch, wrote their parents a note, stuff like that. That person got saved on this date. So we can keep track of all that. And so that's a help as well. So that's the organization of it. Again, we want to make sure that it is top notch. We want to make sure that we take the time to organize, to make it good so that the teens see that, and so that we can be efficient in everything that we do in seeing people saved and baptized and joining our youth group and joining the church. Secondly, we see our strategy. First of all, we want to model soul winning. Again, they need to see that we're excited. They need to see that we're on fire for God. They need to see that we're passionate about souls. And so we've got to model soul winning in our youth group. Secondly, we want to mentor soul winners. Mentor soul winners. Going back to 2 Timothy 2:2, and the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And I'm going to give you a couple ways that we train our young people through our teen soul winning program. First of all, a couple of years ago, leading up to our teen soul winning kickoff in junior high Bible study, I went through To Seek and to Save. You can pick this up in the bookstore if you'd like. It's a great soul winning book. There's also a student edition that you can, what I do is I didn't buy a student edition for everybody. I took the outline from that student edition, wrote those up, handed out the outline so that they had notes, and we went through this for about 6 weeks before we kicked off our teen soul winning program. And it's a very practical book. It has a lot in there about the mandate of soul winning, why we're commanded to do it. It talks about developing a heart for souls. It talks about how to start a conversation, how to draw the net, how to lead someone to Christ. So some very practical things that we went through in junior high Bible study, and was a great help to not only myself, but our young people as well in developing teen soul winners. So we want to mentor our soul winners. Also, what we've been doing is on Saturdays this past year, we did a lesson every week from that. So all the soul winners that came, we took about 20 minutes and we went through one lesson of To Seek and to Save. We taught that. Another thing we like to do is divide up in groups. So we'll say, hey, you two go over there and practice what we just went over. And so that gives them an opportunity to kind of rehearse that and figure out what they're trying to say and how to start a conversation. And that's been a huge help to us as well. So we can't just expect, again, to go out and for everybody to know what to say. We need to instill that in them. We need to teach them how to do it. We need to teach them how to start a conversation. We need to teach them how to be courteous when going up to a door. You're a representation of Christ. You're a representation of our church and our pastor. And so we want to make sure that they know how to do that. And again, that book covers all the bases in knowing how to talk to somebody about Christ. So we want to mentor our soul winners. There's times when we get in a car, one-on-one soul winning, one-on-two, you're in a car with two or three teens. That's another chance to mentor. You come from a visit and you say, we talked about this, or you're witnessing to somebody, and that's a teaching moment. You can talk to them about how they would approach that and how they would start a conversation there, what they would do different in that situation. So we want to train them in everything that we do. Another thing, I stole this from a church youth group a couple weeks ago. It's called a Salt and Light Challenge. And it has a list on there, five friends I'm praying for. And it has the verse, Matthew 5, 13 and 14. And on the back it says, I'm committed to praying regularly for my friends who don't know Christ, serving them by meeting practical needs, and then speaking up when the time is right about why and how I became a Christian, what it means to know Jesus Christ, and invite them to a weekend service. And I thought this was a great idea. I'm going to utilize this and in our junior high department, and I'm going to give this to them, and I'm going to have them write down 3 to 5 friends that they know personally that they can pray for every single day, and pray that they will have the courage to stand up and say something, even when they're under some peer pressure, to give them the gospel or invite them to a service so that someone else can witness to them. But so you've got a lot of ideas. You can always glean ideas from other churches as well. But those are some of the ways that we train our young people in how to witness to others for Christ. And then lastly, we want to motivate our soul winners. We want to motivate our soul winners. I feel this is very important because, yeah, a month or two in, everybody's pumped up. Everybody's ready to go. Everybody's just loving teen soul winning. But what about 2-3 months down the road? What if you know, we haven't seen somebody saved for a couple weeks? What if a person's been going for a while and hasn't seen anybody saved? So we've got to find a way to motivate these soul winners. And yes, we develop that heart for God, but we've got to keep on encouraging them as well. A couple ways we do this is letters of encouragement. Letters of encouragement. We have several of our youth workers that write notes to our teens that come on Saturday morning. And they will just jot them a note, hey, thank you for coming out soul winning, and I'm praying for you. I'm glad to see God doing a work in your life. Anything along those lines. But just encouraging those young people to continue to come out soul winning every week. Second, preach messages of encouragement, or have points in your messages that talk about soul winning program and coming out every single week and witnessing to people for Christ. Next, we talk about having soul winning testimonies. This is one of my favorites in teen Bible study or in Sunday school. And we say, does anybody have a testimony about a friend that you talked to about Christ, or someone you led to the Lord, or someone that came to church that you've been praying for? And hands will go up. And to hear that is an encouragement to me, but it also encourages the other 50 people in there that are listening, saying, man, he's in 8th grade, or he's in 7th grade, he's younger than I am, and he led someone to Christ, or he's going out soul winning, or he's inviting people to church. And so we want to make sure that we take those testimonies and use that as an encouragement to our young people each and every week, and on different occasions, recognizing ones that have gone. Make it a big deal. I'll occasionally say, how many of you went teen soul winning last week? They'll stand up and, you know, we'll make a big deal out of that because I think that's important. I think we need to encourage. And sometimes our young people are going to get discouraged. I've had people tell me before, I'm not going to go out soul winning. I haven't really seen anybody saved, never really talked to anybody. So they need encouragement just like you and I do. And you and I are the ones that need to do that. We need to figure out how we can encourage, whether it's writing letters, whether it's hearing testimonies, whether it's sharing a testimony from your own life, and recognizing the ones that go out. Again, make it a big deal. So we see our organization, we see our strategy, and then thirdly, we see our approach. We see our approach. I think it's important to vary your approach on occasion. We don't always go out door knocking every single week. We do vary our approach on occasion, and whether it's a time or whether it's a place that you go soul winning, vary it a little bit. You know, keep those teens on their toes, if you will. But a couple ways we'll do this: obviously door knocking, we do follow up. When we do special events, we have our open house calling, we have our Easter musicals, we have our Christmas musicals, and this might be more of a canvassing time, but we'll try to get those young people out there and canvass for those special events. We have new move-ins. Occasionally we will take teens and we'll make new move-in visits. So our church every year, they organize an event where everybody that's moved into the valley within the last 6 months to a year, we'll take them a little gift, maybe a couple books or something. And so we'll grab some teens and we'll make those new move-in visits. One of my favorites is Pies to Widows. Pies to Widows. We get all the teens during the month of November, and we'll get a pie for each of the widows in our church, and we'll take that over there. I know some of our teens, they'll sing to that widow, and they'll just be a blessing to her, take her a note. And this is another way to be a blessing to some of the people in our church and to get them serving other people. We've gone to the mall before. We've taken them to our Antelope Valley Mall, and they've passed out tracts there. A lot of times, I like taking guys to parks. And finding, I'm a big basketball fan, so I'll find some guys and we'll play some basketball with them. And then that's an opportunity for us to witness to them afterwards. Also, I like to look for homes that have basketball hoops. I'll go by a house and I'll see a couple guys playing, take some of the guys with me. And I've never been turned down asking for a game of 2-on-2 or 3-on-3. So they'll play with us real quick, and then it kind of brings that wall down a little bit, and we'll start talking to them about the gospel and invite them to church. So you've got to vary your approach. You've got to find ways. You've got to be creative in finding people to talk to. Again, another way we do that is sidewalks after school. If you haven't tried this, man, this is an awesome opportunity to get young people out there, to get them out of their comfort zone and talking to other people at public schools. Well, sometimes we'll take 15 to 20 people out of school early, and we'll head over here to Eastside High School or another high school in the area, and we'll stand on the corners there, and as they're coming out on the sidewalk, we'll witness to them. Sometimes we'll have a big gym night, and we're inviting as many people as we can from the public schools, and so we'll do that as well. But that's another way that you can, hey, just go out there and stand, and you will see some fruit from that. You will see people come to church and be saved because of that. But you've got to vary your approach. You've got to keep everything fresh, keep your ideas fresh, be creative in how you approach soul winning. Then during the summer, we do not have organized soul winning every single week during the summer. Most people are gone, but we still want to keep the emphasis on it. We will still encourage them to go soul winning with their parents or with a youth worker on Tuesday night or Saturday. But as a whole youth group, we have three dates out of the summer that we call our teen soul winning blitzes. I think our next one coming up is June 29th. And so what we'll do on June 29th is we'll have our rally like we normally do, just us teens. We'll get on a bus, we'll go out, we'll knock some doors, and then we will take them all to lunch. And we'll do that three times throughout the summer, and we call those our teen soul-winning blitzes. And so those are 10 approaches right there that we take, and I'm sure we could stand up here all day and come up with ideas of how we could better reach our community, how we could better reach young people in our area. But you've got to be creative. Ask God to give you wisdom. Ask God to show you some ways that you can witness to other people, especially teens, and God will bring those people across your paths if we're doing our part. So we see the priority to instill in them some of those objectives that we talked about. We see the program, some of the organizational things there. And then lastly, we see the product, and we're almost done, the product of our teen soul winning program. First of all, relationship building. I think it's awesome that we get to go out and go soul winning. We get to reach people for Christ. We get to see our young people serving others in our community. But I think it's a great way to build relationships with our young people as well. So we're serving a dual purpose there. We're seeing them do that, and then we're getting to know them a little better. You're out there for an hour, hour and a half, sit on the bus. We're talking to them as well. And some of the best fellowship I've had with our young people is out soul winning, whether it be on the bus or whether they're in my car or something like that. It's a time to build relationships with our young people. I remember my wife last week, she took out three girls, and I think it was about 105 degrees. It was hot on Saturday, about 11:30, and she took them, those three girls, and they went soul winning for about an hour. Then they went and got Slurpees at 7-Eleven. And that's something you can do to build a relationship with them, to have a time of mentoring. But I believe one of the products of the Teen Soul Winning Program is building those relationships in your youth group. Second, radical change in your youth group. Radical change in your youth group. Have a teen in your youth group win one of their friends to Christ. Have a teen in your youth group bring a friend and see them get saved and watch what happens. There will be radical change. And I know if you have a bigger youth group, you might get discouraged sometimes because they don't come and they don't go out soul winning. They don't have a passion for souls. No matter what the size of the youth group, you're going to have those teens that are not involved and that don't want to see it happen. But you just focus on the ones that do. You focus on teaching them, and you focus on mentoring them and modeling teen soul winning for them and encouraging them every time they come and going out with them and visiting some of their friends that aren't saved. And just see how it affects your youth group. See how your youth group gets on fire for God. So that's one of the products of teen soul winning, and that's why we want to take it seriously, because it has the ability to not only impact them, but to impact the others around them. So the product, relationship building and radical change in our youth group. I think of two people, especially when I think about radical change. We have a girl, her name's Shalinda. She just graduated from high school, and she was going to a school out here, Desert High School on the Air Force Base. And during youth conference, she brought three or four friends, and those three or four friends got saved. Since then, she's brought two or three more that have gotten saved. And just to see the smile on that face and just to see the joy in her heart and her love for her classmates and people around her at a public school, it's been awesome to see. I think of another guy who goes to our Christian school. If you would have told me that this freshman, Seth Hanna, would have brought eight of his AAU basketball teammates and seen every one of them get saved, I would have told you you were crazy. This guy, he's kind of to himself, he's kind of shy, and it just goes to show you that sometimes we sit back and we say, man, they're just not getting it. Sometimes we say, I don't know what else to do. I don't know how else to relay that message to them. But maybe, just maybe, there's somebody in your youth group that maybe doesn't have all the talent in the world, maybe he's not the most outgoing person, but because you decided that you were going to instill some of those things in him, a heart for God, a passion for souls, knowing what and why he believes certain things, maybe he caught on to that, and maybe he said, you know what, I'm going to talk to my teammates. And Seth didn't lead those guys to the Lord, but you know what he did? He brought them all to church. And somebody else talked to him. And he had a huge part. I mean, he's one Christian on a team with those eight other guys who don't go to church, who their parents want nothing to do with God probably. And he brought them to church and saw those eight guys saved. And so I just want to challenge you. Make your teen soul winning program worth it. Sit down and organize it. Take the time to make it what it should be. Make it great. Do what you have to do to make it a priority in your youth group. Organize it and do the best you can in that. And then watch God work. And watch God do some great things in your youth group. I promise you, if you will take the time to organize it, if you will take the time to make it great, you will have young people in your youth group that, like our pastor always says, it's better what? Caught than taught. And they will catch on to that. And they will say, hey, you know what? That youth worker right there, he was a huge impact. He had a huge impact on my life. He taught me how to talk to somebody at the door. And I was scared to death. I was nervous. I didn't have the courage to talk to my classmates. But I invited him to church and I got to see him saved. And Yes, we want to grow our youth group. Yes, we want to see numbers, and we want to see people come and have a good time and enjoy our activities and everything like that. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is a heart for souls, and we want to develop that in our young people. So through this teen soul winning program, hopefully there was something I said that helped you or kind of sparked an idea in your mind of how you can better yours. But let's make sure as youth workers and as youth pastors that we are stewarding these young people that are placed into our hands, that we're stewarding their hearts wisely, and we're putting into their hearts and minds what we should be, and developing our teen soul winning program so that we can see people changed and or see people saved and lives changed for the glory of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for everyone here at the conference, Lord. I thank you that we have so many people here that are just eager to learn and eager to go back to their home churches and serve you with their lives, Lord. And I pray that we, as we talked about, would instill some of these things in our young people. I pray that we'd get excited about our teen soul winning program so that they will see that, and that we would model that and mentor them in how to talk to somebody about Christ. And God, I pray that you would help us as youth workers and youth pastors to continue to learn the things that we can and study our Bibles and study how to be better soul winners so that we can relay that message to them and so that we can see more people saved and lives changed for your glory. Lord, we love you, and I pray that you'd be with the service tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.